Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in London, where Chelsea will host Manchester United Monday evening at Stamford Bridge in a FA Cup football quarterfinal. My friend at VOA partner station, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM in Nigeria, Maxwell, the maximum goal poacher Lawrence, who in my mind's eye can bang in goals with both feet, asked me earlier Monday, "Sonny, who are you picking, Chelsea or Man U?" I'm going with the Blues of Chelsea, maximum goal poacher, in addition to having the home field advantage at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea has performed better this season in the English Premier League. First place Chelsea has a 17-point cushion over sixth place Manchester United, and the Blues look healthier heading into the FA Cup quarterfinal. Chelsea's Italian manager, Antonio Conte, has a fully fit squad, while Man U will be without two key strikers, England captain Wayne Rooney and Swedish star Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Rooney has been ruled out with a leg injury, while Ibrahimovic begins a three-match ban for elbowing Bournemouth's Tyrone Mings. Man U strikers Anthony Martial and Marcus Rashford are also missing from the match because of illness. If we base the outcome of this evening's match on history, though, Manchester United has the advantage. Of their 11 previous meetings in the FA Cup, Man U has won 8 and Chelsea 3. Recent history, though, favors the Blues, who have prevailed in both FA Cup meetings since 2000, winning 1-0 in the final in 2007, and again by 1-0 in a sixth-round replay at Stamford Bridge in 2013. Turning to African football, here's a sunny side of sports salute to Zambia, which hosted and won its first Africa Under-20 Cup of Nations trophy. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as other African football news.
We begin from Zambia, where the final of the 2017 Under 20 African Cup of Nations was played on Sunday. Host the Junior Chipolopolo of Zambia became champions of the 2017 Under 20 African Cup of Nations after they defeated Senegal 2-0 in the final on Sunday. It was Zambia's first appearance in the Under 20 AFCON final, while it was back-to-back final defeats for Senegal following their 1-0 loss to the Flying Eagles of Nigeria in the 2015 edition, which they hosted. I spoke with an excited Bestin Chambeshi, head coach of the young Chipolopolo of Zambia, on the secret behind their success.
Yeah, I feel great, and it's nice to win the AFCON. Yeah, I'm very happy to achieve this trophy.
Coach, what was the secret behind your success at the African Cup of Nations for Under 20?
No, it's about the preparation. At least we had a good preparation. You know, we went to Spain. We had to spend 10 days in Spain, and the boys trained very well. We had the nice facilities in Spain, and we are happy with the sponsorship we are getting from the government. They really helped us to prepare very well for the tournament.
Early on Sunday, Guinea defeated the Amajita of South Africa 1-0 to finish third and to win the bronze medal. Both Guinea and South Africa, alongside the 2017 AFCON Under-20 finalists Zambia and Senegal, will represent Africa at this year's FIFA Under-20 World Cup in South Korea. Now to the CAF Champions League, where several matches were played at the weekend in the first leg round of 32 games. Egyptian giants Zamalek fought their way to an epic 4-1 win over Enugu Rangers of Nigeria, while another Nigerian side, Rivers United, cruised to a 3-0 win over Sudanese club El Merrikh at the Yakubu Gowon Stadium in Port Harcourt. Coach of Nigeria's Rivers United, Stanley Iguma, said the win is a good cushion for them ahead of their second leg game.
I think it wasn't a bad one for us. We take it gradually. The most important thing is that we're able to win today.
Kelechi Osunwa of El Merrikh of Sudan blamed their loss to fatigue.
All the players are all tired because of the past month we're playing like every 3 days. Playing the Arab Champions League, we're playing the league, and we're playing the African Champions League as well. We just had 8 games this month, so I think all the players are fatigued.
Elsewhere, Ferroviário Beira of Mozambique managed a 2-0 win over Barak Young Controllers FC of Liberia. My colleague James Botti spoke with coach Cooper Sana of the Barak Young Controllers, who says despite their loss in the first leg, he's looking forward to the second leg in Monrovia.
Preliminary round for the group stage, the last stage for the preliminary round to qualify us for the group stage. Sunday will be the return leg in Liberia, specifically in Monrovia.
Should we expect that your team is going to put up a very good fight?
Yeah, we are optimistic with the level of support we've been getting from our management and our own player interaction with the enthusiasm. We are optimistic of winning home, not only winning, but qualifying to the group stage.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More football news from Zambia and the Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations. 18-year-old striker Patson Daka of Zambia was named best player at the competition. Daka is currently based in Austria with the club FC Liefering, on loan from the Zambian club Kafue Celtic FC. Daka had a tournament-high 4 goals during the Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations, the same total as junior Chipolopolo teammate Edward Chalufya and South Africa's Luther Singh. All three of those players had 4 goals each. Singh, though, was named top scorer because he also had 2 assists. South Africa also won the Fair Play Award in Zambia. The 2019 Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations will be hosted by Niger. More football news. Mexican fans mourned a weekend without soccer after referees refused to officiate at matches in protest of the Mexican League's decision not to impose tougher punishments on 2 players who shoved officials. The sports newspaper Record published a banner headline Sunday reading, "We are going to miss you." It also carried the subtitle, "A sad weekend without the MX League," referring to Mexico's first division league. Now, the trouble started last week when a player for Club Toluca shoved a referee after an expulsion, and a player for the America squad appeared to headbutt a referee after a call. The referees reported both players for aggression, which could have led to them being banned for up to a year. But the league's disciplinary committee punished the players with 8 and 10 match suspensions for the lesser penalty of attempted aggression. Mexican referees showed up for a scheduled match Friday but refused to take the field. The games scheduled for Saturday and Sunday were not played. Turning to tennis, Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, and defending champion Novak Djokovic are all through to the third round at the BNP Paribas tournament in Indian Wells, California. All three players won in straight sets. First, we'll hear from Djokovic, who defeated Britain's Kyle Edmund 6-4 and 7-6.
There was not much wrong I did. I did miss some forehands. But other than that, it was a very solid match, good quality tennis, a good test. So I'm just pleased with the overall performance.
With a good overall performance in California, Novak Djokovic will pick up valuable ranking points and move closer to reclaiming the world number one position. Djokovic is currently at number two, 2,215 points behind Andy Murray of Britain. Murray was upset in the second round at Indian Wells by Canada's Vasek Pospisil, 6-4 and 7-6. Australian Open champion Roger Federer looks to be in very good form in California. The Swiss star advanced to the third round with a 6-2 and 6-1 victory over Frenchman Stéphane Robert. Now 35 years old, one of the oldest players in professional tennis, Federer says he simply can't afford to rest on his laurels.
Margins are small. If you're not up to your best, you're struggling and you might lose. It happens so quickly. That's why I'm really pushing for me to have good energy on the court.
With good energy on the court, Federer says he also feels in excellent physical condition right now.
It's true, I feel really good. I feel fast. I think it did pay off that I worked as hard as I did in the off season and that I actually could work hard. It was very exciting for such a long period of time, and I think I'm definitely still benefiting from it.
Roger Federer says he's also benefiting from the confidence that comes from winning a record-extending 18th Grand Slam singles title in Australia this year. At the post-match news conference in California, Federer was asked if his latest Grand Slam trophy has made him more relaxed.
Yeah, sure. Fuels me with more motivation and excitement, but I also definitely have to be careful of any letdown, you know, after the Australian Open. I think it's real. That's why I'm really out there like today, pushing myself on one more point, you know, shot for shot, point for point mentality is so important to see and not just look too far ahead and think things are going to come easy. Things don't come easy.
Roger Federer's 18th Grand Slam singles title didn't come easy in Australia. He had to rally in the fifth and final set to beat Spanish rival Rafa Nadal. Nadal is also competing at the California tournament, and he's through to the third round after a 6-3, 6-2 victory over Argentina's Guido Pella. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
Washington.
My name is Florence Mwale, and I work as a reporter at Capital FM here in Malawi. With the world now a global village, the VOA's place cannot be overemphasized, since most of the issues it airs are pertinent to the advancement of least developed countries, such as Malawi. All of us here at Cabaret Radio Malawi are thrilled to be associated with the VOA as a partner station. Some of VOA's programs on our schedule include Straight Talk Africa and Daybreak Africa. As Cabaret Radio Malawi, we are excited to be associated with the VOA. And now, as the VOA celebrates its 75th anniversary, we look forward to more live radio interactions and strengthened relations. Happy 75th anniversary, Voice of America, from Capital Radio Malawi.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
I also encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. In African boxing, the 60th anniversary of Ghana's independence was celebrated over the weekend at the Bukom Boxing Arena in the capital, Accra. In the featured bout, local favorite Richard Comey of Ghana won his lightweight fight, beating the Belgium-based Tunisian Hedi Slimani by unanimous decision. It was a hard-fought fight. Both boxers suffered cuts, and both fighters went toe-to-toe in the last round. The judges scored it 116-112, 116-112, and 117-111 in favor of Richard Comey. With the victory, Comey won the WBC International Silver Lightweight Belt. Two more Ghanaian boxers, Duke Mika and Frederick Lawson, also won WBC International titles. Mika beat Mexico's Jonathan Aguilar to win the vacant WBC International Bantamweight title. And reports say Lawson was lucky to win the vacant WBC International Welterweight Belt after a questionable split decision victory over Jamaica's Sakima Mullings. Ghana's former world champions Ike Bazooka Korte and Azuma the Professor Nelson were among the celebrities in attendance at the Bukom Boxing Arena in Accra. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Andrew, am I mad to think March Madness is trending this evening?
Sonny, all I got to say is put on your dancing shoes. We're ready to go to the big dance. Of course, it is that time of year in college basketball here in the United States. March Madness has begun yesterday with the announcement of the 68 teams that have made the field as part of the NCAA March Madness tournament. And so we'll run through very quickly the top four seeds. There are four regions, the East, Midwest, West, and South, and each one of those has a number one seed. So in the East, we have the overall number one Villanova. In the Midwest, Kansas University, my favorite team, making, by the way, their 28th consecutive NCAA tournament appearance, which is a record in college athletics.
Go Jayhawks!
Go Jayhawks! In the West, we have Gonzaga, and in the South, the University of North Carolina. Now, even though those are all the one seeds, if you're filling out a bracket, I wouldn't necessarily put all of those into the final four teams. In fact, that's only happened once in the history of the entire tournament that all four number one seeds have made it to the final four. In fact, the team that has the best odds right now of winning, according to folks making these predictions online, is Duke, and the number two seed. And so Duke has the best odds right now, 5-1 odds. And of course, these are subject to change. University of North Carolina is at 6-1, and then you have Kentucky, which is a two seed, Villanova and Kansas, the 2-1 seeds, at 8-1 odds. So a lot of attention being paid to that as that kicks off tomorrow. I believe they start playing those play-in games.
The play-in games, I think they do begin on Tuesday evening, Andrew. How about some March Madness trivia of the top seeds? Which school has never won a national title in men's basketball?
All right. Well, I know that Kansas has. I know the Villanova won last year, and certainly UNC, that storied program. So I got to go with Gonzaga.
I think you're correct. Gonzaga, the Zags. And in case our Voice of America basketball fans are wondering, Sonny, Andrew, where exactly is Gonzaga University located? You want to answer that, Andrew?
Gonzaga is in Washington, but not Washington, D.C., where we are. It's in Washington State, which is way out west.
Spokane,
Washington.
Okay. I think their nickname is the Zags.
The Zags, yes.
The Zags, or the Bulldogs, I believe,
is their the mascot, the Bulldogs.
What else is trending with March Madness, Andrew?
Well, as soon as they made the announcement yesterday of the field of 68 teams, of course, you're going to have a lot of dissection of the list, who made it, who didn't. And so let's talk about a couple of the teams that many feel got snubbed. Illinois State University had a very strong year, but because they're not in what they call a major conference, not with the big teams like the Kentuckys and Kansases and Villanovas, they're in a smaller conference. Illinois State did not make the tournament, and that had a lot of people upset. They said they had a great record, they played well. Even though they weren't from a major conference, they should have been able to make it. Another team that is a very well-known team that didn't make it, Syracuse University. Of course, they've won the championship in the past. Very well-known. They just didn't have the stuff this year, but people saying they should have snuck in and made it. However, the flip side of that, you have teams making it for the very first time. There are five of them this year. Northwestern University, which is making its first ever appearance from the Big Ten conference. And then you have some schools from smaller conferences, North Dakota, University of California at Davis, Northern Kentucky, and Jacksonville State. So a lot of excitement on social media from those fans. They're going to the big dance for the first time, particularly Northwestern. I saw one video that was very cool. They usually, schools, if they have an inkling that they're going to get into the tournament, they go in their big arenas or wherever they play their games, and they gather a bunch of their students and put up cameras so they can broadcast it and broadcast the reaction on national television as they announce these teams. And the video, the behind the scenes, you see everyone sitting there quietly, and as soon as they announce Northwestern, everybody jumps up and screams. It was a very cool video behind the scenes there.
One of the big Northwestern fans, Andrew, and I think you mentioned this on the show last week, Julia Louise Dreyfus, the former Seinfeld actress, the former Elaine Bennis, I think her character was. Well, as it turns out, her son, Charlie Ball, is a walk-on on the Northwestern men's basketball team, and I see she's still trending in regards to March Madness. She posted a video of herself from her Seinfeld days doing a little dance on the dance floor, and she wrote, "We're going to the dance, boys. NU men's basketball."
Yeah, that scene from Seinfeld, Elaine doing that kind of crazy dance, is a viral clip and one that's well shared for the Northwestern men's basketball team.
Who else is trending out there with March Madness, Andrew?
So we have the teams that were snubbed, the teams that are making it for the first time. We have on the other side of that some teams who are upset with their seeding, like Wisconsin. They're an 8 seed, even though they've made the Sweet 16 for 5 of the past 6 years, and they were the runners-up in 2015. They were the runners-up in the Big Ten tournament conference championship game, losing to Michigan. They only get an 8 seed out of that. They're not happy about that. They said they're going to play with a chip on their shoulder. So it's going to be interesting to see how they take that on. And then you have Wichita State, which had an impressive record, 30 wins, 4 losses this season, including a 15-game win streak. But they're only a 10 seed. So they get a very low seeding, but that makes them very dangerous to maybe have some upsets. And speaking of upsets, people upset about seeding, you could have a couple teams that could cause some big upsets if you're filling out your bracket. Florida Gulf Coast University, first ever 15 seed to make it to the Sweet 16 several years ago. They're one to watch. They're 14 this year. And Middle Tennessee State, they're a 12 seed this year. Last year, they took out Michigan State. They were a 15, beating a 2 seed. And a lot of people last year had Michigan State winning the whole thing, and they went out in the first round. So Middle Tennessee State, definitely one to watch as well. But also, fun fact for anybody filling out the brackets, there are 9.2 quintillion combinations. So
You have
better odds playing the lottery, perhaps, than winning your bracket.
Let the madness begin, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the March 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. government, through the Agency for International Development, or USAID, announced its continuing support to the education sector in Bauchi, Nigeria. This five-year Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, sets out the shared and individual commitments for collaboration in the education sector made by both USAID and the government of Bauchi, and provides a framework for mutual accountability for education activities in Bauchi State. The MOU supports the Bauchi State government's education goals and establishes a preliminary plan for joint monitoring and evaluation of progress. USAID supports Nigeria's efforts to improve the quality of and access to basic education. Currently, USAID implements three activities that support Bauchi State efforts to improve the education sector: Northern Education Initiative Plus, Education Crisis Response, and the Leadership, Empowerment, Advocacy, and Development. These activities build state and local government capacity and systems that will teach approximately 2 million primary school children how to read and allow nearly 551,000 children the opportunity to attend classes in community-based learning centers by the year 2020. The United States commends Bauchi State for its extraordinary efforts to provide greater learning opportunities for its children, said USAID Mission Director Michael Harvey. This MOU will expand the partnership between USAID and Bauchi State to improve primary education in Bauchi. The United States is proud to work with its partner Nigeria to provide a better future for the children of Nigeria.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, voanews.com/editorials.
Tuesday on Health Chat. Join host Lenore Modu, reassessing your health stress in 2017 with Ken Red Cross, internal medicine and concierge doctor. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we look at Ghana, 60 years after becoming the first black African country to gain independence. The 1957 precedent inspired other nations to seek their sovereignty, and 17 African countries gained independence in 1960. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today,
right now. This is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.